Welcome to the Occult London Podcast. This is a new podcast dedicated to exploring magic, mysticism, the Kabbalah, as well as other topics. In this series, we have been exploring the symbolism and mysteries of the tarot trumps in relation to the Western mystery tradition. Each episode, we will be looking at a different tarot card. These are meant to be short introductions, so will not be an exhaustive examination of them, but rather a taster to get you started. If you like the podcast, please make sure to visit our website at www.occultlondon.co.uk, where you can subscribe to the show. Hope you enjoy it. On today's episode, we will be discussing the 24th path, which is the path of Nun, also ruled by the tarot trump of death. As usual, we will begin the episode by looking at the key correspondences of the particular path, and the text for this that we're using to do this is John Michael Greer's excellent book Paths of Wisdom, which I would highly recommend if people are interested in looking at these further. So let's begin. So the Hebrew letter of the path is obviously Nun, which means fish. The name of God is Al or El. The astrological correspondence is Scorpio or the Scorpion. The tarot correspondence is Death. The esoteric title is Child of the Great Transformers, Lord of the Gates of Death. The Yetzeratic text is as follows. The 24th path is the imaginative intelligence, and it is so called because it gives a likeness to all the similitudes which are created in like manner, similar to its own harmonious elegancies. The mythological principle is meeting with the powers of death. The experiences of the path are images of death, burial and decay, travel through deep water or through blood, visions of the dead and of the future. Entities of the path include skeletons and other death figures, as well as cold-blooded animals. The magical image is an arch of deep greenish-blue colour, bearing the letter Nun in brilliant white upon its keystone. The door in the arch bears the image of the trump. The colours are as follows. In Atzeluth, greenish blue. In Bria is dull brown. In Yetzirah is very dark brown. And Isaiah is livid indigo brown, a bit like a beetle's shell. So let's get started on some of the kind of key concepts. So obviously this path is one which tends to make people, when they're beginning out, get a little bit scared, or, you know, it's got connotations of, death and that type of thing, which people don't generally like, or they feel a bit uncomfortable talking about in our society. The path of death connects the sphere of Tiferet and Netzach. So thus, from the view of the artist descending down the tree, it can be seen as the outflowing of energy from the individuality located in Tiferet into the more emotional energy and experiences of Netzach, as well as the base of desire. From the angle of us going up the tree from Malkut, it's also this idea of like the flowering of nature that is then kind of burnt up in the fires of Netzach and sacrificed and sort of reborn in Tiferet. So the path forms the third card in the series of three cards that represent this concept of the dark night of the soul. So together with the tower and the devil, they really represent this kind of breaking down of everything we know, but at the same time a transformation into a higher state of being and a different form. And there's a great quote from Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki when she says the following. Life is the dream, death is the dreamer. They belong to each other like lovers, and like lovers they are parted for a while and come together again at last. The title of the path is Child of the Great Transformers. The transformers here are life and death. The child is man. And that's from Dolores Ashcroft Nowicki, book The Shining Paths. So highly recommended. And the great Israel Regarde also wrote the following. The task of the student on this path is to let go of the old and yield to that which is unfamiliar, trusting in the love of the divine. And this is from A Garden of Pomegranates. And also Gareth Knight, in his Practical Guide to Kabbalistic Symbolism, which we've referenced previously, also says the following: death has to be accepted before rebirth into higher consciousness can be achieved. So what we're seeing from all these quotes is this card is not necessarily about something we should be afraid of, but it's very much the idea of transmuting and changing. And it's actually more a fear of transmutation that we're holding us back rather than the fear itself. If we read Dionne Fortune's Cosmic Doctrine, she lists out seven types of death, which is worth kind of doing some meditation on, but we can quickly kind of go through them now. So the first death is two separate forces ceasing to exist independently, but becoming a single, entirely new manifestation. The second death is the evolution of a lower form to a higher form. The third death is the death of the physical body, so very much synonymous with the path 32, which we haven't been on yet, but this is basically this kind of death of the physical body. The fourth death is sleep, which is also a kind of little death. The fifth death is the death of the personality. So this is very relevant to this particular path that we're talking about now. The sixth death is trance, which is an induced sleep. And then the seventh death is illumination. So that's the death of the personality, where the personality essentially becomes united with the individuality. And then there is a kind of basically both aspects become one. In this particular path, we're primarily focused on this kind of a concept of the death of the personality, and that it will eventually lead to this illumination, which is the seventh death of illumination. So as we can see, this is very much about change. If we move on to discussing the Hebrew letter of the path, it's Nun, which is the fish, and that's obviously representative water, astrologically by Scorpio, which is ruled by Mars, a planet of very fiery energy. So these two energies together obviously can kind of show almost like a first death in terms of that sort of blending of fire and water. There's obviously the abyss higher up the tree. Before we get to the actual supernal triangle, there is the abyss that we have to cross. However, this particular path also is part of another abyss which separates the individuality and the personality. So the personality represented by the lowest spheres of the tree, and then obviously the individuality is being representative by of Tiferet. So if we think about our aspects of our personality are in Netzach, there's a fire which then burns that away, and we begin to see the personality kind of break away as we move more into the higher aspects of the individuality in Tiferet, and also that contact with that holy guardian angel. As Gareth Knight puts it, the gulf is something that has to be leaped, and leaped alone, stripped of all hindering burdens, in faith. It is thus one of the crisis points of spiritual progress, because of the great temptation to turn back from the unknown to the apparent safety of known things. And to succumb to this temptation is to lose all the fruits of past endeavour. So this path is very much about renewal, regeneration into a new form of being. This is the goal of initiation. And this is also very relevant if we look at the different sort of gods and goddesses from that point of view that have gone through this process. We see the risen god. So there's gods like Osiris, obviously Jesus Christ as well. The concept of death as being part of life, and death on one level is being born on a higher level. And one of the things that some of these interesting, if you read some of the books about this path, particularly they hint at this path almost being like a practice run for the bigger death. So obviously the loss of the personality is kind of a forerunner of this higher death, which represents that real real kind of transformation and also illumination that comes sort of later on. And that's something that Paul Clark in his excellent book The Hermetic Kabbalah says, when he says that the aim of initiation is to sort of solve the issue of physical death through the development of the imagination. So once it is trained, it enables the initiate to experience the physical death and so not fear it any longer. And he says the following: initiates look at this process not as a termination but as a transformation. We must intellectually accept the idea of immortal life. This is the critical first step in opening ourselves up to the miraculous transforming power of the imaginative intelligence. To facilitate this process, we must analyse our fear of death. You can start by examining your attitudes. Do you avoid talking about or thinking about death? Why? Is it because unconsciously you fear it? Many initiates do. It has been said of initiates in ancient times that one of the gifts given by the mysteries was the absolute freedom from the fear of death. How was this accomplished? Certainly not by avoiding all thought concerning the subject. So what he sounds like he's saying is these initiates in days gone by would imagine their own death over and over again, effectively kind of living that experience on a daily basis until it becomes part of their own life. And then this is the process known as solvet et coagula, or these are the elements of my body which I destroy so that I may create them anew. So we are living with that concept of death. And then it ceases to have that power over us, and it just becomes another day, turning of the leaf. The seasons go on and the leaves fall. And there's a great novel which deals with this particular theme as well, called The Book of Skulls, who I think is by Robert Silverberg, I believe, but please correct me if I'm wrong on that. But it's an excellent novel about a group of students that move. They actually go to find this cult based out in the Mexican desert, and they are looking for the secret of immortal life. And it's a really excellent book. So it's a shame they've never made a film about it. So in terms of this concept of, obviously, it's identifying the self with personality, and then we need to kind of face the fact that that self, that personality, is not going to be there potentially. It will change, it will evolve, and parts of it will go. So, you know, we need to really kind of change our viewpoint in terms of seeing it more as a tool, but not our self. So it's more like the outer mask or the outer curtain, but the inner self is actually behind that curtain. So it's looking at that process in terms of how we dissolve, break up and reform that particular outward form through this process of invoking this, you know, higher energy, higher self, and also through, you know, various transformative practices. So things like meditation, imagination, calling down that higher self and enabling us to make that transition. So clearly, there's quite a lot to go through there. We'll finish off by looking at some of the kind of myths and mythological aspects of the path. Clearly, for this path, you know, there's lots of different gods and goddesses that we could use in relation to death. You know, one of my favourites is Anubis, who I've mentioned on several other episodes, in his role as being sort of psychopomp between the worlds. So he's very much this character that moves between the day and the night, or conscious, unconscious, or personality and higher self. So it's very much this kind of guide between the worlds. and he's a very good archetype and presence to work with if you want to kind of understand that a bit better. Obviously, Persephone is another one in terms of her descent into the underworld. Osiris, you can have a look at from the point of view of the, you know, the resurrected king, and obviously, you know, Jesus. And then there's an awful lot of other death and resurrection goddesses that can be gods and goddesses that can be worked with as well. So highly recommended. So that brings us to the end of today's episode. I wanted to finish with a quick poem by Henry Scott Holland. And he says the following: "Death is nothing at all. It does not count. I've only slipped away into the next room. Nothing has happened. Everything remains exactly as it was. I am I and you are you. And the old life that we lived so fondly together is untouched, unchanged. Whatever we were to each other, that we are still." Hope everyone's enjoyed the episode, and please check out our website at www.arcotlondon.co.uk, and I look forward to speaking to you soon. Thank you. Bye-bye.